I'd like to call this meeting of the Reedley City Council to order. And the first item on our agenda is the invocation. And I've asked Steve Penner, from the pastor of the First Mennonite Church here in Reedley, to give us that invocation. And following that will be the Pledge of Allegiance by Mayor Pro Tem Betancourt. Would you all rise with me?
Join me as we pray. Our God, we gather as citizens of this fair community. Here we are within these four walls, few of us representing the many of our lovely town. We ask that tonight and always in our town, our ability to be wise would triumph over our tendencies towards folly. We pray for civility in the place of rank recklessness. And we pray always that our compassion would trump our tendency to sometimes walk on by the other side. Bless these dear council members tonight as they deliberate and speak to each other, and us as citizens as we support and interact with them. Amen. Amen.
Please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the roll call.
Councilmember Beck?
Here.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Here.
Councilmember Chavez?
Here.
Councilmember Salino?
Here.
Mayor Fast?
Here.
Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening? Would you please come up and state your name and address for our record?
I'm Jean Hyatt, 385 West Sycamore in Reedley. I'm not here for very long. I just have to point out my hero. And apparently he's well known throughout the chain as I was recovering and being taken care of. This man's the only reason that I am here tonight. So I'm going to say I'm back. I would like to, I don't know, do something wonderful for him. I can't afford to do what I would like to do. So if council can find some money or some volunteers, I'd like a statue of that man over there in the park. I would have statues to all of the fire department and the ambulance crew and everybody, but especially to our fire chief. Thank you so much. I'm going to really enjoy life now. And I may come down and heckle you. I do want to pick up on what I talked about before. Timing, my doctors tell me, was all important. Let's don't put any concrete obstacles in this man's way or any of our other emergency service responders. When paint and maybe those flashing lights will do to show the traffic the way, please eliminate, if you haven't already voted and passed the whole thing as it's drawn up, please eliminate those concrete raised medians on North Frankwood in favor of our emergency people. And maybe more of us will show up down here. Thank you very much for giving me these few minutes. I'm going to leave.
Okay. And thank you.
I'd like to say a few words.
Oh, sure. Okay.
First of all, it is really good to see you again.
I got to know Mrs. Hyatt. We were having some public workshops for a construction project near her residence, and I would run into her from time to time. And I found her to be very wise, very witty, and very energetic. Maybe spunky is a better word. But, you know, when I joined the fire department 18 years ago, I wanted to serve the community and help folks that are in trouble, that were in need. And I'm just glad that through my association with the City of Reedley and the fire service, I was able to help somebody, and I'm glad I was able to help you, Mrs. Hyatt. Oh,
me too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. Will you please state your name and address for our record?
Yes, I will. My name is Donna Hacker. I'm at 1395 Crawford Avenue, Reedley, California. I live out on 180 and Crawford Avenue, which to my reward is right close to the Dunnigan's Gap. And, of course, one of the most beautiful areas that we have in this community, I believe. As many of you know, we've been under, for a long time, looking at a blight on Jesse Morrow Mountain. Just want to bring to your attention this evening that the meeting for the Board of Supervisors is scheduled for August 28th at 9 a.m. at the ballroom at downtown Fresno. We would like to invite everyone to be there, members of the council, members of the community. I think if you look, we have an ad in the paper. We have billboards up in Fresno. We have one at Divisadero and Blackstone. We have one at Shields and Clovis, all showing what an artist rendering is going to make this mountain look like if this mine goes through. More importantly than just the actual visual aspect that we're going to have of the mine is what the effect this mine is going to have on many of our beautiful sites we have here. I'm also a member of Sierra Gateway Trust, which is a grassroots organization that has been trying to put the scenic highway, the only scenic highway in Fresno County that leads to the national parks, and have it accredited as a state scenic highway. We've come along very far in our process. We have three of the five elements completed. We got to the corridor protection plan, which we have written for the county and provided it to the Board of Supervisors to review and also through the Planning Commission. We've received back some of the errata responses that they've provided to us on that corridor protection plan we provided. But we were told that the scenic highway would not go forward until Jesse Morrow Mountain was decided. Unfortunately, if Jesse Morrow Mountain is mined, the scenic highway will be a dream that does not come through. We will not be able to proceed with what we've been working on for 5 years to try to make Highway 180, which is already right now a Fresno County scenic highway, into a state scenic highway. We feel that this is an extremely important aspect to bring to the community, not only to support the Blossom Trail, but the Fruit Trail, but many of the other agritourisms that we have. 850,000 tourists go to the national parks every year. Our children travel on that highway going to Hume Lake. We just have so much and so many reasons to realize that not only do we not need the aggregate coming off of Jesse Morrow Mountain, but we really don't need to have those trucks, and we don't need to have the blight of Jesse Morrow Mountain be the first thing that our visitors see when they enter the national parks. So I just wanted to take a moment, let all of you know about what some of us in the community are doing, and let you know about our concerns about what is coming up and how important this meeting is on August 28th. And please ask everyone to come, voice for or against. We're not asking you to just come because you support our cause, even though we'd really like you to be there if you do support our cause. But we do think it's important that the Board of Supervisors know how we feel about this mine, what effect it's going to have on our air quality, on our traffic, on the visual aspects going to the national parks and to our scenic highway. So I just wanted to take a moment. Georgia invited me to come this evening, and of course Georgia is very persuasive in most everything she does. So I wanted to take an opportunity to just bring it to the forefront for you, since it's going to be coming around very soon. So I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Donna. Mm-hmm. Is there any other public comment this evening?
I'm Georgia Lynchai from 1865, P.O. Box 1865, Reedley. I wrote a letter to a couple of papers, and I thought I'd share it with you before it comes out and give you an idea of what maybe Jesse Morrow Mountain could look like if we allow the mine to happen. Do you realize how the mountain would look if CEMEX got an okay from the Board of Supervisors to mine it? It would have stair steps going 50 feet high and about 50 feet deep into that mountain, up the south slope of the mountain. That's not all. It would have a pit at the bottom of the mountain so deep that the Fresno County Courthouse could be lowered into it with only about 25 feet showing. And not only that, the pit would be so wide, now that's deep and wide, it would be so wide that it could fit the whole Fashion Fair Mall in Fresno with the parking lots on either end down into that pit, if that is what we're going to allow to happen. And now that they have decided to blast a pit, it takes more explosives than that on a slope, because if you blast the slope, it will fall forward. A pit has to be more of an explosive to raise that rock up. It could raise the rock up to 1,500 feet in the air every time the explosives went. It could blast rocks, I don't know how much during the day, but a number of times during the day. That could stop traffic, because if it blew it 1,500 feet up, it would surely go on the road, and traffic would have to stop while the explosives go, and then they might have to clear off rock on the road, and we don't know if it might hit cars. We don't know that. And they could blow a siren for at least 5 minutes or more before the blast would go off, and I don't know how long it would take to clear the road, but who would want to go to our Sierra parks and forests on Highway 180 past a mine and past that blasting? I'm encouraging all, just like Donna, let's come and pack that room.
Thank you, Georgia.
Good evening, council members. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Valerie Prony, Greater Reedley, Chamber of Commerce. First, we've got quite a few things coming up. We have our centennial planning is begun. We've had our first committee meeting. We're celebrating our 100th birthday next year. Next Thursday, the 23rd, at 4 o'clock, we have another meeting over at the chamber. So if you'd like to learn more, join our committee for the public as well as the council, please come. We've got a lot of plans in place so far. Leadership Reedley, we had one successful year. We're moving on to our second one. We're accepting applications right now. I think we have five of them completed right now, but we're only going to accept 10. So if you know anyone who'd like to participate, please let us know. And last, on September 26th, one of our members we are hosting a luncheon with Supervisor Case and Bill McEwen from the Fresno Bee, League of Women Voters, and a representative from the Howard Jarvis tax reform group out of Sacramento are coming down to talk about the five critical tax initiatives that are on our ballot in November, as well as we're going to have a discussion about Measure K and the library bond that is also going to be on our ballot. So we welcome everyone to attend. It'd be a luncheon. It's, I think, $25 for chamber members and $35 for non. And we're inviting outside chamber members and business leaders to attend, and you'll get an advanced invitation as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie.
Good evening, Council and City Manager. My name is Dawn Barcellas. I represent some of the business owners here in town, and I'd just like to give you some heads up as to our election coming up in November on the 6th. My name will be on the ballot for City Council, and I am happy to possibly be joining you. I would like to be part of the decisions that are coming up in the next 4 or 5 years because I've learned a lot from the current council we have, and just want to see Reedley get to its next step. Instead of reiterating and looking behind us, looking forward to what else Reedley can be. And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Any other public comment this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on. The consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would anyone like to remove an item from our consent agenda?
I'd like to move to item two.
Item two? Okay. Any other ones?
I'd like to make a motion for all the other consent items except the change in 5 and 6 with the changes.
Okay, so you'd like to remove 5 and 6?
Well, I'd like to approve them with the changes. Do we need to go over them before we?
Actually, let me just state really quickly for the public record. On item 5, we did go ahead and issue a new resolution to you. Same information, but we had some word changes, so you should have received that from the city clerk. And then there was an error on the title of the staff report for item 6, and in fact, this is for Presidential Estates. The staff report states it is for East Avenue Apartments. It is, in fact, for the Presidential Estates. So thank you, Ms. Betancourt. In fact, if you so choose to make a motion with those corrections noted, we would appreciate it.
Anyone else like to remove an item? Okay, so we'll remove item number 2, and we'll take your motion of all the other items with those corrections.
Second.
Called for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes.
I've just got a couple of questions. I noticed that there was some budget change around regarding that matter. All I was concerned about, does that affect any other monies going to any other departments or anything that's going to change what the money's going to be used for? Are we going to shortchange anybody by
No.
moving the money around?
No, not at this time. The monies will be rebudgeted to come out of the Okay. Development impact fee.
Yeah, I noticed that they had said that they would not approve it through the other budget plan.
Right.
And I was just kind of curious that why it didn't meet criteria out of that budget. So
yeah, it didn't meet. You know, we were very excited about having the opportunity to get that building. So I did make an incorrect assumption that we could use Article 8 monies for that building because it is used to house our street repair, you know, people and equipment. However, COG did relay to us that was not a valid expenditure to come out of that account. So because of that, we switched gears and we're looking to take the monies out of our development impact fee facilities account instead. Yeah.
That's all I was curious
okay.
about. Make sure it didn't affect another budget somewhere
sure.
else.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns from the council on this item? Any public comment regarding item two? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
Make a motion we approve number two.
There a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Public hearing. Item nine is a public hearing, and it's for ordinance number 2012-003. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Reedley amending Title 12, Flood Control, Chapter 1, Sections 12-1-2, 12-1-3, 12-1-4, and 12-1-5 of the City Municipal Code pertaining to flood control requirements.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the Council. Darlene Mata, Planning Consultant. Tonight's action before you is an introduction and the first reading of an ordinance amendment. As stated to Title 12 of your municipal code. This chapter is the regulations to implement the flood insurance program, the National Flood Insurance Program. And it's essentially a cleanup item following up a 2009 amendment to the city's flood maps. They were evaluated by FEMA in 2009, and there were some changes recently, earlier this year. The Department of Water Resources came to Reedley to look at our flood administration program, and they did meet with city staff and at the end submitted a report to us that's included in your staff report that highlighted several changes to our municipal code that needed to be addressed in order to remain compliant with state and federal flood insurance guidelines. So tonight before you, the proposed amendments to the code are in your staff report. The amendments are, most of them are fairly minor. The largest ones include a definition of a violation of a building being built in the flood zone areas. There are, of course, some new dates for new flood insurance rate maps. We did change the floodplain administrator from the community development director to the building official. We thought that was appropriate given that the building official does see all the building permits that come through the city of Reedley, and he would be more appropriate to review whether they were in compliance with our flood insurance or floodplain guidelines than the community development director that doesn't always see every building permit. The types of material that can be used for construction in floodplain areas and some definitions for flood openings and some engineering requirements. The letter that we received from Department of Water Resources did ask the city to respond to them with our amendments, and so these amendments that are before you this evening have already been reviewed by the Department of Water Resources, and they are in concurrence that these amendments would bring us into compliance with state and federal guidelines. With that, if you have any questions regarding the proposed amendments, I'm certainly here to answer them. I did include a strikeout version of the full section of the municipal code, and then the ordinance only reads as an actual the actual amendments in the ordinance that you will be adopting or actually considering for first reading this evening.
Thank you, Darlene. Are there any questions from our council?
It was interesting trying to read through all of this and to look at all the abbreviations
yes.
that you have here. And the one that really got to me was a BFE.
Base Flood Elevation.
Exactly.
So that's the elevation where they anticipate, if it's a 100-year flood, where the flood could rise to, and then you're required to build just above that. I can't remember if it's 1 foot or 1 inch. Anyway, that's the base of your finished floor on a new building.
And I didn't find it until I got to the last page.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just had a question in it, and I had asked the city manager, so I got my answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Does this in any way change any of the mapping for our city on what the floodplain actually is today?
There were some minor changes done in 2009, which have been in effect since 2009, but this does not change those 2009 maps. So this is the last step in the process to address any flood issues in the city of Reedley. And my understanding is it's just part of their process to go through the cities that participate. I did bring the maps if anybody wanted to see the actual floodplain maps. We have three that cover the areas throughout Reedley. It doesn't show individual properties, so you can't see parcel lines, but you can kind of see where you might lie. If a property was now in a flood zone that wasn't previously prior to 2009, anyone should have received notice from their mortgage holder if they were required to get flood insurance. And according to the report from Department of Water Resources, we only have four residences or homes that are required to have flood insurance here in Reedley.
Maybe this question's for the city manager. Are we being more reactive or proactive on some of these changes that are coming down? I mean, are we going back to our books and making sure we're current as opposed to maybe having federal agencies notify us that we need to make changes?
It's a great question, and I would say as much as we are able, we try to be proactive with the changes. For instance, the emergency operations plan that we undertook this year, et cetera. This particular ordinance we had in place, it's been reviewed periodically through the years, but this was a Department of Water Resources special visit, and they've been going throughout different cities. So this particular ordinance, I would say, we didn't know what to anticipate that comes down the pike, but normally through the associations that we all belong to in our specific fields, we do try to address the special items that come up and proactively address them in our ordinances and codes. Obviously, in the litigious society that we're in now, we want to make sure we're up to date as much as possible.
Okay.
Mrs. Mata, can I ask you a question? You're saying that only four homes are the ones that have to have insurance?
According to Department of Water Resources in the report they gave to us, yes.
And those are the homes that are on the west side of Park Avenue?
You know,
along the river?
I believe it said there were that three of them, they have four insurance policies, three with preferred policies. They're in the AE and X zones, and we only have the AE zone next to the river, so it's probably some of those properties that are near the river.
So nobody further east is required to have flood insurance?
There are some areas near Traverse Creek that have some flood-designated areas around them, but I don't know that we have any buildings within that area. That's still on the eastern edge of Reedley.
But I'm saying along the river here to the west.
Not according to their report, no.
Wow, that's interesting.
However, if somebody owns their home outright, they aren't required to get insurance. So there could be somebody.
They're not.
So there could be somebody if they own their home. You're not required to have it. So we may not know of some people that are in a flood zone that own their home and don't.
Well, that's interesting because years ago, being on the council for this many years, we were told anybody that built when those subdivisions down there, because they were in the floodplain, whether it was a 500 or 100-year plain, that they were required to have flood insurance because all of that property, and I can't remember, it's a final slope, that even after the dam was built, that property was underwater at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Hmm. Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Any public comment on this issue? Item 9. This is a public hearing, so I will open the public hearing at this time for comment. Seeing no comment, I'll close the public hearing.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay, we need to waive the full reading of this ordinance as part of your motion.
I ask Please. It to be waived.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Call for the question.
Second.
Anita.
Okay.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fass?
Yes. Item 10 is administrative business to approve the mayor's nominations to fill the vacancies on the Recreation and Parks Commission and on the Traffic Safety Commission. And I'll turn it over to our city clerk.
I'll go ahead and take this for a minute for the city clerk. So we did have some vacancies. We would like to fill those vacancies with Mr. Stephen Penner on the Recreation and Parks Commission and Ms. Tracy Tucker on the Recreation and Parks Commission. These two commissioners have reapplied, and as they were the only applicants, we are able to extend out their terms or have them serve for additional terms because there were no new applicants. And so we are very pleased to have them continue on those commissions. And we also have Forrest Brown for the Traffic Safety Commission. We are able to extend out the number of terms he may serve because there were no applicants who submitted. And so we would kindly have your approval, motion and approval for these nominations to our commissions.
Before we do that, I'd like to introduce Steve Penner. He's one of our commissioners, and he's here this evening. So thank you for being willing to serve. Are there any questions or comments from the council? I did have the opportunity to make a phone call and speak with each one of these people, and they seemed very willing and energetic to serve again. So, any comments from the public on this item? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Mayor Fass?
Yes. Item 11 is the River City's Theater Quarterly Report, and that's just for our information only. Is there anyone that has any comments or questions on that? If not, we'll move on to council reports. And I'll start with Mr. Beck.
Oh, I only have one item that I'm kind of interested in finding out. We did have an incident with the treatment plant a couple of weeks ago or 10 days ago or so. Has that problem been rectified as far as with the system that advises us when there is an emergency?
Yes, it has been corrected, and it's been tested, and so it's back online.
Yeah. Is there any way that they test this on a weekly or a monthly basis that we make sure that it's working?
Yeah, it's a very complicated system, and it does go through some test runs. In fact, our wastewater waste management superintendent is called every night to ensure that, you know, the system actually calls her. It actually did call her that night. There was a failure beyond that, though, a very intricate minor failure of a tag that was on a control board that didn't function properly. It was, unfortunately, one of those events where the stars aligned and everything went wrong at once, which is very rare, especially with the type of plant that we have now, which is built to, you know, prohibit SSOs, which is sanitary sewer overflows. But just as a note on this, we did get an outside engineering company to perform a report for us, an in-depth analysis of the spill, and they concluded through the flows and through some other, it's a very lengthy report, but that they concluded that their estimate of the flow was 6,600 gallons. So
much less.
Much less. We always anticipate the worst, absolute worst, so that we can, you know, in the interest of the safety of the public. But it was, in essence, very minor. So we're thankful for that.
And if
since we're on this topic, yeah. I think there might be a
Oh, no. Do
question.
I need to get a seat?
Go ahead.
We're taking numbers.
Besides the checks, the audits and so forth, do we do a manual walk through the area? I mean, do we physically look sometimes? I mean, do we just totally rely on technology?
The plant is so technical now that we do walkthroughs, and actually the plant is staffed 7 days a week but just during the daylight hours. This did happen at night, and it was we had to have two warning systems fail for this to occur, and it was a very freak thing, but we've worked it out. I'm not sure how far in depth to go with it, but the situation's been resolved, and we're very confident at this point that it won't happen again.
Well, in reading the article in the paper of Mr. Who's the gentleman that's in charge of the paper? it a lot of people were asking questions, so that and it was you answered the question that we don't have employees at nighttime.
Correct.
So, all right, thank you.
The question I have, I understand that there were tests done on the water in the river, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, there were tests done upstream and downstream of the spill. When those tests came back, they were exactly alike. So the spill into the river had no impact on the river whatsoever. So we were very pleased when we got those test results as well.
Thank you. If I can add, I do want to thank Martha Cardoso for her immediate action. She did exactly what she was trained to do in this type of a crisis, immediately took efforts to control the spill, contact the appropriate environmental organizations. It would have been fairly easy for somebody to, with that minimal amount of leakage actually, to kind of push us under the rug, but we did exactly what protocol called for and what they were trained to do, and I think that crew out there did a fantastic job of getting this under control. We did have a debrief meeting with state and local authorities in Fresno on Friday to just go over the reporting and who does what in these types of crises. And in fact, they were complimentary of our staff, and I think our staff did a very good job.
So, thank you. Anything else, Mr. Beck?
No.
Mrs. Betancourt?
I went to see a junior giant game last week, and there was four teams that played on that Thursday evening, and it was so nice to see all the kids running around and having fun, and the improvement from the beginning to what's been happening now. And it's nice that we have something available for our kids to keep them busy, because there was a lot of kids that were busy that night. You know, and the parents were out there supporting them, so I'm real happy that we have that for our kids. And I also went to the first meeting that they had for our school bond, which is Measure K, and went over some of the things that the bond will provide. And one of the most important things was the swimming pool complex. And if everything goes right and we support it, it's going to be nice to have a swimming pool here, especially with a river. Our kids need a place, especially with this hot weather, to swim and compete. Because my husband used to take care of the city pool, and every year he'd say, I don't know which pipe I'm going to hit this year to get that thing going. That's how worn out it was. So we really need this for our community and for our kids, so hopefully we can support it. That's it.
Mr. Salino?
A week ago Monday, I had the privilege of attending the Southeast Regional Solid Waste Commission, which is very seldom since the landfill in Dynavent Academy was closed. And the items that we discussed were just a review, an update of what's taken place financially, and things that they're talking about doing that might help that landfill. And the nice thing about it is that they're not talking about any kind of increase per ton. Right. That's it.
Okay. Councilman Chavez?
Had a really good meeting with Chief Garza the other day and at Starbucks, and we talked a lot about the plan that they have in place for emergencies, and that's about it.
How come you went to Starbucks?
Because he was paying.
Well,
Was it supposed to go to Starbucks?
I had to go to the office.
Support our local businesses.
I also had a meeting with the chief, and I had to come to the office, too. But he did give me the option, so oh, I guess I shouldn't have said that, huh? But, and I think, in all seriousness, in, you know, kind of reviewing what happened the last couple of weeks with the wastewater spill and the problem there, I think it's so important that we set our plans for something that we pray will never happen, but know what we're going to do. It's kind of like when the sirens go off, everybody gets excited. But if we don't know what we're going to do and we're all just excited, something bad is probably going to happen. And I just think it's so important to have that emergency plan in place, and we now know what our roles are, and if I should get a phone call, I know where to go to find my book, and I will keep that out because that's just really important. And in that line, Russ, I wanted to commend you and your staff, Martha and her crew there at our wastewater treatment plant for being intentional in the way that you responded, being honest and forthright, and taking care of the problem. And I've been told that there are a lot of new little things that we're setting up in those manholes so that there'll be some manual calls if there's issues. And I appreciate the follow-up with that, and know that we probably will have an incident again someday. And this was a good run. You all responded correctly, properly, and I'm so thankful that we didn't have any incident where there were problems in our river that did cause contamination in it. And, you know, we have to realize that river's flowing. When that happened, the river was flowing fast, and a lot of water was pushing through there, so the dilution rate happened quickly. So we're very thankful for that. Speaking of water, attended the Upper Kings Basin Water Management Authority, and that authority is responsible for a lot of the water grants and opportunities in our valley here. And one of the things that was noted in that meeting is that they're having trouble getting funding. They've received grants from the Prop 84 funds through the state, but they're having trouble getting the monies to actually get to us in a timely manner. And so that authority is very concerned that we get that process at the state fixed. I also attended the Fiddler on the Roof play at the Opera House. And it was a fundraiser for the Relay for Life a couple of weeks ago, and that was a dinner and the play. And I hope most of you got opportunity to go to that. It's now completed their run, but they had a lot of community people involved, and involved even some people from Fresno, from some of the places up there that have professional actors, and we're very lucky to have that that theater here in our town. I also attended the Council of Governments meeting and the Fresno County Rural Transit Agency meeting. And regarding the Rural Transit Agency meeting, that's the agency that supports our vans that are here for our transportation here in Reedley. And they also had an audit done. Seems like it's the time right now to do these things. And they had to update their policy for the prohibited substance testing program. For those of you that don't know, people that drive buses are put on a random test where they can be called to go test for drugs or alcohol in their system to prevent people driving under those conditions. And the manager there told us that there had been no incidents of a positive drug test in 12 years since they started that program. And I was in shock. I thought, man, that's awesome. They have really screened their people well. So I'm very proud of our rural transit agency, and I know Joel works very closely with them for our program here in Reedley. So I'm very thankful for that. Also, some of you are probably aware that Reagan Johnson was a Reedley resident who was killed in that Caltrans accident about a month ago. And Caltrans has set up a memorial fund for her through the council governments. You can get more information, or I have that information also. So if you're interested in getting some more information or donating to that, I can get you that information. And that's all that I have.
Just to follow up on that Transportation Authority, I'd like to congratulate John Clemens, the Director of Transportation for the school district, that was appointed to the Transportation Authority Committee by Judy Case. Mm-hmm. That was nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Staff reports.
Thank you, Mayor. We do have several members of staff who will give updates. There are a couple updates I'd like to give. The first is that our annexation of the CVTC site, the Central Valley Transportation Center site, has gone to LAFCO. As I think we mentioned previously, we do now have a formal public hearing date, and that is September 5th at 1:30 p.m. So that's rolling along, and we are finalizing the municipal service review that they asked us to finalize in anticipation of that public hearing, but we don't anticipate any problems with that annexation. So that'll be nice to finally get that under our belt, have that done. We had the presentation on Jesse Morrow here, so I won't talk too much about Jesse Morrow other than to say, in fact, it is going to the Board of Supervisors. The other mine, however, that we are also looking at is the Carmelita mine. The application there did pass the Planning Commission this week on a 6-1 vote. So Jesse Morrow, you'll remember, was denied. This one, in fact, was approved 6-1. The folks over in the Carmelita area really were paying attention to us with some of the mitigation measures we asked for with our airport. So at this point, we're satisfied with the mitigation measures that are put forward in that EIR. So I did want to state that to the council publicly. I also want to let the council know that Juan Garza has asked me to place a Measure K presentation on your agenda for August 28th. So he will come and speak to the council on Measure K, what it's all about, why it's needed. And they will be asking whether the council would be willing to approve a resolution of support for Measure K. So we'll have that on the 28th. And then just a minor housekeeping item. I know several council meetings in a row we've had people complain they were not able to hear the council speak. We did, in fact, fix the speaker over that area. So we should not have that problem anymore. Okay. So,
great. Thank you.
And I know there are a couple staff members who had updates.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Joel Gleck, Community Service Director. I do want to inform you on August 10th, we did get a grant agreement from the Federal Aviation Administration for our airport layout plan. It was for $67,000 and some change. That's going to be brought to the council for your approval on August 28th. And if you recall, we started that airport layout plan probably a year and a half ago. There was a funding glitch on the federal side, and they have reallocated the funds to us, but it needs to come back to you for your approval. So just want to give you an update on that.
Great. Thank you, Joel.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Noe Martinez, City Engineer. Just to give you a quick update, to let you know that this coming Monday, we're going to be starting or initiating our construction activities for our CDBG slurry seal project on various streets within the city. And right now we're in the process of notifying the appropriate agencies and as well as the residents, because we are going to be closing some of the streets and creating detours. So we'll make sure that we notified everybody and that everybody's aware of the project. And we're probably also going to work with the exponent to have something in the paper for next week.
Great. That'll answer a lot of questions.
Slurry seal in 110-degree heat is just wonderful, I'm sure. So.
That's
I have
all.
A question. The water tower, it had something draped. Are they getting ready to paint it?
And I yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, we have received a request from the contractor to work during night hours to deal with those high temperatures, and we're currently looking into that request and making sure that there's not going to be any issues with granting that.
No pun intended, those hours. High temperature.
It does get pretty hot inside the tower nowadays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think Chief Garza has a couple of updates as well.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Joe Garza, your chief of police. Just a couple of reminders of a couple of events that we're going to be having here shortly, and I'll have Sylvia pass these down to you. Thank you. The first one is we are meeting tomorrow here in the council chambers with neighborhood watch captains, and the purpose of this meeting is to discuss Reedley Night Out. As you're aware, National Night Out was last week, which was observed by many communities throughout the United States. Reedley tries to observe it in September. For one, it's a lot cooler, and obviously most of these people probably had to deal with 100-plus degree temperatures, and we feel by having it in September we can get a better draw of people coming out to Neighborhood Watch, and that's going to be on the 27th of September. Reedley Night Out will be September 27th. The meeting tomorrow with Neighborhood Watch captains is to discuss exactly what we are going to be doing in Reedley Night Out. One of the things that I have always been a proponent of, or recently has been talking about, going back to the basics. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing and discussing with our Neighborhood Watch captains, is going back to the basics and having Reedley Night Out for what it was intended to be. In recent years, it has become a production, in essence, where people would want fire trucks, police cars, motorcycles, you name it, to come out and to have that as a showcase. Well, actually, Reedley Night Out and National Night Out is not about showcasing equipment, et cetera. What it's about neighbors coming out and getting together and knowing each other. That's what Reedley Night Out was intended to be. So we are trying to get back to the basics of what Reedley Night Out is intended to be, and it will follow along with the district policing that we have implemented at the police department. So I encourage you to come and join us tomorrow. We will be discussing solely the Reedley Night Out. We will not be discussing any crime problems or any solutions to those crime problems. We will hold that for Reedley Night Out on the 27th of September. So I look forward to seeing you there tomorrow. And also, the second announcement or the reminder is on the 27th of August is the first day of school for Kings Canyon Unified School District. Obviously, Reedley College has already started, if you haven't noticed the increase of traffic in that area. But August 27th is the start for Kings Canyon Unified School District. And every year we do have what we call Walk to School, Walk Your Child to School Night or Day. On that day, we deploy ourselves out to various schools within the community, and we stand out at intersections. We encourage children and their parents to use the crosswalks to get across the street. And at the same time, what we're doing by being out there is we are letting the commuting public or the public to know that school has started, and to be aware when they're driving in front of schools, in around schools, to watch out for children walking, et cetera. So we will be at the several schools within the community. Briefing is at 7 o'clock at the police department. If you show up, we will give you a nice bright red sign that says stop. So hopefully You do not become a statistic. We have not had any problems with people coming out on those on these events, and we will be planning on being out in front of our specific schools from about 7:15 to 8:15, and it's always interesting right about 8:10 to see those parents who are bringing their kids late for the first day of school. That's always fun to see, I would encourage you to take a look at the schools that we will be at, and if it is in your district, please come out and join us. We should have some officers out there, and if you don't make it to the briefing, you can just join the officers at that time. So, again, I look forward to seeing you on that day as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.